Okay, my iPhone tells me it's 9 o'clock. So let me call the meeting to order. We have had regrets from councillors Inglis and Waterman. You have an agenda that's been circulated. I have one additional item under 17.4, contract negotiations. Does anybody, yes, Councilor Frelick?
I would like to add a summary of a working group on accessibility legislation, a meeting that I attended last week. A report.
I'm just wondering where to put it. We'll put it on the other.
Other.
Mayor, for clarification, what was the subject?
It's a report on an accessibility seminar that you went to?
Legislation meeting.
Legislation, okay.
Accessibility?
Yes.
Thank you.
And that'll be 16.2. Any other additions, deletions from the agenda? If not, I'd entertain a motion to approve it. Councilor Fisk moving, Councilor Frelick seconding, all in favor. It's unanimous, and thank you. That brings us to presentations. Are there any presentations to be made? Any petitions to be tabled? And that comes then to item 5, public questions and comments.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Due to my disappointment this morning, we were going to do this earlier before the past 5 years we discussed, but we'll do it now if you would, if you're permission.
You missed your chance, Leon. You missed your chance.
Just a comment. First of all, the financial statement looking at over there, things are looking quite over there. The revenue is up well, of course, with the taxation and what have you. I noticed under expenses overall, you're up about 5% over. Normally, you'd be around, running around 25, you're running close to 30 there. I assume that that will level out as the year goes on, because sometimes expenses come up front and what have you. Just a comment with respect to that. Under number 10, I thought perhaps maybe there might be, you're having some updates there on different projects, and we hadn't heard anything too much lately about the pool, which was presented here, there's a presentation here some time ago, as an update with respect to where that might be.
Well, I can give you that right now, because it's not on the agenda, and that is not prepared, but as recently as yesterday or the day before yesterday, talking to the CAO has been working with the pool executive. The pool executive is about to do a needs survey. They had intended to do it before the schools got out. They, for one reason or another, didn't make that deadline, so they're now waiting to the fall to do the needs assessment. So that's the next step in the process. Do you have anything you want to add to that, Richard?
No, and so we've had 2 or 3 meetings. They've also been talking with other operators and managers, so the file is slow during the summer, but it's moving forward. The survey will be the major next step that will be launched.
I'm surprised they didn't do a needs assessment prior to doing all the work that they've done there. I think they're going in the right direction, but the needs assessment obviously hadn't been done at this point in time.
The assessment they had been basing their discussions on, Richard, correct me if I'm wrong, was the old one that was done as Queen's Place and Mirror Center was being considered and the pool was being involved.
Exactly.
Part of that. So this is you need to have an up-to-date one and up-to-date information.
Yes, and they've engaged Dalhousie University to help them on this. I don't want to speak for them. Discussions have been constructive and moving forward. If you'd like, I can get a further update for them. I don't want to speak to them too much, but they've been engaging different people and bolstering their work.
So it is alive and well and moving forward.
It's moving forward.
Yes. Yeah.
One final comment. Under number 10.1 there, the update there with respect to Markland Avenue, the water and sewer, and I just wanted to mention here, because we don't get a chance to speak later on, is there going to be two-way traffic on that street once it's finished? There's two-way traffic there now, I understand, but at the top you're not allowed to come out onto the other street above there. And that was part of one of the questions. And also, is there going to be the sidewalk, is that going to be reinstalled? And I can
answer both those, but Richard, you might do better doing.
Okay, so there will be two-way traffic and the sidewalk, so and Brad will be doing an update, but the sidewalk will not be reinstalled, which will be improvement for the size, snow clearing and all of that.
Yeah. But they'll be able to get out each end of the street now, because before I understand you couldn't get out at the top end.
Right.
Well, supposed to, but I understood that the sign had no real validity, but it's
just what I understand. I don't think there was too many fines, but
that's right.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Is there anybody else who'd like to address council? Hey, it's going to be a record day. Okay, then we're down to item six. I'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the last council meeting, July the 12th. Councillor Fancy, Councillor Deputy Mayor Norman, seconding, all in favour? Unanimous, thank you. That brings us to the dangerous and unsightly.
Good morning.
Good morning.
For those of you who haven't met Mr. Jared Daniels, Mr. Jared Daniels is a student with us through Ravensburg College in Halifax. He's studying law enforcement and he's here with us for 180 work term hours. So as per...
Excuse me, let me interrupt you for a second, Kellyanne. I think it's great doing this. Rather than passing around photographs,
yeah.
I think this is the way to go.
Same here.
Really is an improvement.
It's much easier for everyone. So this is, I'll present first and you can just flip through the pictures. How about that? Is everyone okay with that? 64 Pizan Street, Liverpool, Queens County, Nova Scotia. PID number 70018874. Assessed owners, Stephen A.J. Rasley and William Rasley. Just to note, there's no representation of this property here in council this morning. Property noted as 64 Pizan Street, Liverpool, Queens County, Nova Scotia, bears extreme long grass that could potentially pose as a fire hazard. The standard parcel of land bears a dwelling and is in close proximity to several other homes and properties within a residential neighborhood. This property is noted as dangerous and unsightly and does not meet with neighborhood standards accordingly. The offending property concern was brought forth to our department on June 30th. Via a formal public complaint whereby I attended and conversed with one property owner at the time and the property owner's partner. I was advised that they did not own a lawnmower or a whippersnipper, however, stated that they would hire someone to clean up the property as requested. I attended again on July 7th due to non-compliance and still no mower, no whipper, and no one hired to clean up the property. On June 12th, my third visit to the property, still no compliance. A letter to attend council on this date was served on July 7th at 1:55 hours, and Stephen Rasley, one of two property owners, accepted that letter. Rasley did advise that he would take care of the issue. On July 25th, yesterday, it was noted that the lawn surrounding the dwelling had been mowed, however, more mowing and trimming is required at this time in order to bring the property up to what is considered to be neighborhood standard. My concern is that this will not be an ongoing process, thus my recommendation for mowing on a seasonal basis.
Okay, we need a motion to discuss. Now we have... it normally would go to you, Susan, I think?
No, Bruce.
Bruce is not here.
I can do it.
Would you please, Deputy Mayor?
I shall recommend that the Region Queens Council declare the property located at 64 Kazan Street, Liverpool, Queens County, Nova Scotia, as dangerous and unsightly as defined in the Municipal Government Act of Nova Scotia. And that Region Queens Council cause an order to be served upon the owners of the property requiring that within 7 days of the date of the service of the order, the following work be carried out. 1, grass to be cut and mowed, and 2, cleanup of household solid waste, plastics, tires, metals, toys, etc. And that if the owners fail to comply with the order, the administrator may cause the requirements of the order to be carried out and all expenses incurred by the Region Queens Municipality become the responsibility of the owners.
Is there a second? Seconded by Councillor Fisk. Do you want further discussion?
I just have a question about, there's a lot of toys around there, but it also looks like that they're playing toys. That they're toys
some are,
that
yes.
the kids
some are.
Actually are playing
yep,
with.
Some are.
It's just removal of the broken stuff, I guess. Because
the broken
looks
stuff,
like a little,
broken chairs, furniture,
yeah.
household garbage, plastics,
that's
metals,
yeah.
tires.
Okay. Any other discussion on the motion? Councillor Fancy.
Yeah, the one thing you said he had partially mowed some of the area.
Yes.
But you're worried that he will not continue on that path, right? So when you say grass to be cut or mowed, should that should be continued, or is it? Or
should
is
be maintained on a regular basis.
Okay.
That being said, the first mow occurred on July 22nd.
Okay. But when you got in here, it says grass to be cut or mowed. Will that mean that you will that can be continuous too?
Absolutely.
I'll give you
the
option.
Order will be considered open.
Okay.
Yes.
Councilor McLeod.
Kellyanne, with the size of the property, the front part of the area, everything should be mowed, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Not just little spots here and there.
Right.
It should be completely cleared off.
Absolutely.
Question?
Other discussion? Questions called for? All in favor? It's unanimous.
Thank you.
You. Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you.
Brings us to economic development. Do we have anything that?
No, Jill's been meeting, I know, with at least one person who I recommended in, interested in some business developments, and following up on her policies and work. Things are going well.
Thank you. Anything on, yes, Councilor McLeod?
It may fall under economic development. That is the REN session that was held last week at Queen's Place for the strategic planning session. Some councillors attended, and I think one person from the general, or from...
No,
the,
he was from...
One person
oh,
from
I'm sorry, one
County.
Person from Shelburne attended,
yep,
yeah.
Yep.
And we did a roundtable discussion, and it goes back to that... Ren to put together their other, they're having another meeting I think soon, or they had one after that. And then they'll be putting together their strategic plan, which will come back to us.
Anything else under economic development? Under corporate services?
Nothing at the present time, Mayor Clark.
Okay, that brings us to engineering works. Do we have a Bradley Forward? Thank you, Brad. The floor is yours, my friend.
Stuff ready here. Morning.
Morning.
Capital upgrades. We really have three capital projects this year. I'll start with the first one. The first one being the landfill cell. And a second generation landfill cell is under construction. And that cell will last 10 to 12 years. The construction progressing well. As everyone knows, the weather's been very cooperative this summer. What's constructed to date? The under drainage layer is installed. The bottom poly liner is installed. The geonet is installed. And the clay liner is laid and installed. Next, for installation is the geosynthetic liner, the top poly liner, the leachate laterals, the leachate mains, the leachate valving, drainage curtain, the stone drainage layer, and the stone cushion layer. When that's done, that will bring that cell to completion. In addition, there are some slight access roadways that need to be constructed because of the location of the cell, and some slight grading and ditching. All that work will bring us till early fall, I would say. The budget's holding well. There's no issues there whatsoever. I'll move on to Brooklyn.
Does anybody want to ask any questions of that particular one? Where do you get the clay from, Brad?
That's just a couple hundred yards away, right,
okay,
right on the other side of the access roadway coming into the
okay.
cell itself. Yeah.
Is that off our own property?
That's correct, yeah. And it's really great material. It's a little layer of boulders on the top, fairly small layer. Other than that, it's 70 feet to bedrock at that location, and it's all pretty clean material. At most, you might pick out rocks. It has to be screened, of course, to 3-inch minus. But the biggest rock you get out of it would be that big round. Like, it's really great material. It's very tight. It's a silty tight material. And it actually exceeds a spec that we need to for that, which is great. It's nice tight material there. And it's very close, very handy to have that right there. Brooklyn Sewer and Water. And as everyone knows, what we're doing there, it's constructing and installing sanitary sewer, storm sewer, and water main on Markland Avenue. The project is well underway and advancing nicely. There have been some unknown conditions encountered, but you know, we come to expect that, and we can quickly adapt and counter them. The properties are now individually metered. The temporary water lane is installed, water line is installed, and what that does is it enables the old Markland water supply pipe and to be shut off and disconnected, so now they're fully on our system with the temporary water main. We had to put that in, of course, because you have to maintain service because there is an existing main there. The sanitary sewer, the storm sewer, and water main are installed at 1/3 of the way up the street. The sanitary laterals are tied in as we encounter them. The new water main will be tied into the properties after the entire water main is constructed to the top of the street. It's disinfected and tested, so you can't do that as you go, of course, right? You know, the project's going well, and we'll have that completed this fall as well. The budget will hold. There's no issues there. You know, things are going actually quite well there.
No significant rock?
No bedrock to speak of. I mean, there's some boulders and things like that, and some funny things that the street was built of when the street was put in, right? But, you know, that's construction. You know, my father told me when I first started, construction's a messy business, right? So you come to expect that kind of stuff.
Any questions, Brad, on that particular project? Yes, Councilor McLeod.
Just a comment, Brad. I'm pleased that things are going well and that the residents are certainly well looked after in respects to the, you know, the disruption and whatnot of their street. But I think things are going very well, as you indicated. And it is a surprise that you didn't get a lot of rock going up that hill, but probably because there was an old system in place. Whatever.
Yes.
But so it's good. It's good to have that good report.
So is there anybody on the street who's making cakes or cookies for the guys working there?
Probably, but I don't know. No, Kevin, he comes in and sees me every day, of course, right?
Yeah.
And he tells me what issues they have. And, I mean, they're minor stuff that you expect when you're putting in things like that, right? But nothing major, nothing that can't be countered within, you know, a few minutes of thinking what to do to get around it. I mean, there's some culvert piping and things like that we didn't know was in the street, so we had to, you know, modify the grades a little bit in the piping, but there's so much slope going up that hill, right, that, you know, there's, I mean, in fact, Kevin, we were joking the other day, and I don't think we've ever laid a pipe in that had that much grade in it, because norm time, you're fighting to get a percent or two, right, and there's going to be areas where, you know, you'll be 15-20% in grade on pipe, right, so it's a great little job there.
Any other questions on that project? Yes, Councilor Fancy.
Not on that project.
Okay, moving ahead.
State Park. Now this one here, the designer, he's a little behind schedule in his design. this will put the start of construction at best mid-September, but probably more than likely late September. By the time he gets his construction drawings all done, and you know, we get the contractor lined up. That construction, he tells me, will last 2 months. I think probably closer to three. So somewhere between 2 to 3 months is the construction period. So when you're starting that, you know, mid to late September, you're going to run into weather, and that, of course, weather is less than ideal. We'll run into some fall rains when we're placing some very precise concrete that requires some specialized construction, specialized finishing. So it's quite intricate work, laying those parks with all those curves and then a very precise and accurate way that has to be placed. So hopefully the weather won't be uncooperative to any great extent. Of course, we will have some level of rain, and we'll have to work around that. You know, we'll continue to keep pushing that designer to get that design complete so we can get into the construction drawings. That being said, what is complete to date? The conceptualized design is all done, so he's going to be quickly moving into the construction drawings. Included in the design are the street element section, and those are like pipes and steps and things like that that you think of when you think of skate parks. A bowl section, and that is just like it says, there's bowls, it's deep, but it's got different curves on it. You know, one end's a little deeper than the other, so it has different levels of difficulty depending if you're a beginner or an advanced skater. And the third element, which is a great element, it's called a flow section. And a flow section, it's something like a bowl, but it's much shallower. And if you think of concrete laid in almost like waves, so you can pick up some speed, and it's fun, right? The kids will have a great time with that. The street and the bowl sections, they're common to many modern skate parks done now. The flow section, that one that I just described, just think of it going like that, that's fairly new, and it's a newer feature, and particularly newer in this part of the country. And there may be some in the Maritimes, but I'm not sure. I asked a question to the designer, he hasn't got back to me yet. But I think it's going to be a new feature, and it'll quickly, I think, become a favorite of the skaters, other than the bowl will be a favorite as well. But this you'll see, I think, a lot of activity on this flow section, because it's fun, it's fluid, you know, it can count, accommodate beginners through to advanced. It can be skated as slow or as fast as their skills permit. So I think that altogether, those three elements, it'll be a top-notch facility. You know, we'll put some landscaping around it so it has good visual appeal. I think it'd be great once we get out the construction drawings, we can get out building the thing, right? But we're just a little bit held up till we can know what to build first, right? Have some plans in hand.
Thank you. Deputy Manolin.
Brad, it's great to hear you talk about it, and you're a little enthused about it, which is good.
Well, it's great for the kids, it's right? Great. You know, it's a good feature for
them. I was talking to Dr. Gunn the other day, and I believe he said either just recently or soon the skate kids are going to do an online Skype or whatever with the designer to keep them all razzed up about it, which is good. And there was another person there, and they asked about if it would be just boards or bikes. And Dave said, no, it's for every, you know, it's for all that stuff. However, it must be some of those walls or rails that he said will really need signage, because bikes will destroy them. They'll take the lips off them.
Yeah.
So there's some sections of it which will only be for skate things.
Yeah,
skate wheels, but other than that. And he seems enthused, and I, you know, that group's done really well, and I'm glad we've been able to accommodate them.
And that cooperation between the skateboarders and the BMX kids, well, that will govern itself.
They'll
figure that out. Pretty quickly.
Councilor McLeod.
Brad, will there be any room for bleachers that in the area?
Well, what is being constructed there, it's I wouldn't consider it to be bleachers, but one of the donated material items is a they call it a viewing stand. It's a bandstand, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that will be if you know where we've worked a little bit of that area, and you've got the pathway at the start of our trail, goes by that big rock. just on the right-hand side, there's that picnic table and that patch of grass. So there'll be a little structure built there, like a bandstand, basically what it is, if you want to think of it that way, right, a viewing stand. Built like a gazebo kind of thing.
Other questions? Councilor Fancy?
Well, Brad, a couple of different things there. First off, the fire over the weekend, did that, that didn't cause us any major grief, except for a fire?
You see, well, you've got, the way landfills are built, and you have cover that you put on periodically, right, soil cover. And that's for a couple of different reasons. It's for vector control, which is, you know, rodents, those kinds of things. You know, it can keep some of the water off of your landfills, you have less leachate to handle. But it also acts as a fire break, because the fire just burns into that later, and that's it, and that's what happened. You know, we've been giving it some thought, is where did that fire start? You know, just my opinion, it's, yeah, there was a lot of electrical activity in the area the night before, and the morning of. And right beside where you could obviously tell where the point of ignition was, we have metal fences, litter fences, and they're up there 16 feet high, made out of metal, and on top of that, you know, solid waste, a little hill there. And, you know, when lightning's striking all the way around, that's a nice little ground, right? And, you know, when lightning strikes, you know, go down, it'll run into the ground, so to speak. So, to me, what started it, that would be your number one thing to look at, I think, a lightning strike. And we have been struck by lightning in about the landfill before. I mean, it's happened. Not right at the cell, you know, but on buildings, and they've taken out some of the scale hardware, you know, software, things like that, right? Hardware, I should say. Yeah. Didn't cause us any grief. I mean, you know, you rework your garbage where you had to tear it apart to get the fire out, you had to recompact it, right?
Right.
And life goes on.
Councilor Fish, then Councilor
Plant. Just a quick question, Brad. The cell itself is sort of concealed in an area where it's very difficult to get into the wooded area anyway. Is that, that's,
pardon me?
It's quite concealed around, like the cell itself. So if a fire starts in the cell, it can't go anywhere really except the cell.
Well, that's right. It would be contained.
Yeah.
Right.
You
can't let it burn, though. I mean,
No, I know that. Yeah. I understand that. Yeah, leave it burning heavy and hot fire.
Three quarters
of
it, let it burn out.
Councilor McLeod.
Just out of curiosity, Brad, when you call in, or when you call in assistance from other fire departments, how many did you call in for?
Well, that wouldn't be us. That's
not
always,
anybody. But
I think there was 9 other departments.
Okay.
You know,
9 departments and 19 trucks out there.
Really? Yeah. So those departments, do they, like, is that at their own expense, or like for that sort of thing? There's no cost to ours, or that's just their role as mutual aid and fire departments. There was just a question that someone from the public had indicated, yeah, it's going to cost a lot because you had them out there so long, and I said,
I could add a little, because I was out there. I do know that we helped fuel some of the other fire departments.
Yeah.
Just one more.
Yes, Councilor Fisk.
Just one more, Brad. I noticed the ladder truck, does that help out stretch the water hose across in the air to put the fire in the middle?
The ladder truck was, when I went out, I was out there twice, was up and spewing water over, you know, over the whole thing.
It would spread much easier on a wire spread, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was up to like this, and it's...
Yeah.
I mean, we've had these fires now and again, I mean, because they do happen.
Yeah.
But what you do is you soak, right?
Yes.
And then you need to go in with the machine, turn it over, you know, and when you turn it over, it exposes it to oxygen, so it flares up, you soak it again, and you just keep repeating until you knock the fire down, right? And that's what they did, and this one, you know, I think it was 4 hours, and it was bad. So that was pretty quick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I was really impressed, and this comment is probably rather naive, at how well organized the whole firefight was, and it's almost like a military operation.
Yeah.
You know, every firefighter has a tag that is hung on the control board, you know, in the control area, so that they know exactly where everybody is at what time, and I was very, very impressed. Steve Parnell was manning that in the control center. In fact, I kidded him because everybody else was wearing oilskins and heavy hats and so on, and there was Steve in shorts and, you know, dress shirt almost, not quite, but almost, but it's a It was very interesting, and they did a great, great job. And we're gonna write and thank all of the fire departments for their participation and support.
Okay.
Any more? Yes, sorry, Councilor Fancy.
Brad, I understand that too, because I worked over the mill and worked over Brooklyn Power. I understand that you get the hot spots and you have to dig them up and look at them even before they break out, just because you know it's going to happen if you don't take care of it. One other question I just wanted to ask: when you're disinfecting over at the Avenue,
yeah.
Do you just use ultraviolet?
You shock it with Javex, essentially.
Okay.
Javex 12, right? To a certain concentration, you let it sit in there for a while, then you flush it all out.
Okay.
And you test it, you know, instead of several tests to the lab. It's got to come back, you know, no bacteria has to come back clean. And when it does, you enter your water off your system and turn it on. Right?
Okay.
But it has to be done in a certain method, of course, mm-hmm. right? You're regulated to have it do that.
Okay.
Right. But it's not ultraviolet, Councilor Fancy, it's chlorine, is what you disinfect it with.
Okay.
Which is the same substance you have normally in your water, just
right.
at a higher concentration.
Cool. Are there any other questions, Brad, on these projects or anything else for which he's responsible? Brad, thanks an awful lot. I think it's very useful. Now, there are no motions to be made. Bruce is the chair of finance. I'm the vice chair. No motions to be made. But do you want me to leave the chair, or shall I just run through the? Are you happy with me running through the accounts? And any difficult questions, Jennifer will ask. Answer. One note that to the end of the quarter. We are about $110,000 below the same point last year in unpaid taxes. So, you know, one of the indicators that we have is that we worry about is the percentage unpaid taxes. That number is coming down by $110,000 compared to the previous year. All of the accounts are pretty well in order, as Mr. Robertson pointed out. The deed transfer tax is up. You normally expect the numbers to be around 25% at the end of the first quarter. You'll notice deed transfer tax is at 38%, so that's indicative of either more expensive properties being sold or more properties being sold. So it's a good step in the right direction. You'll notice that metal sales are up in the landfill. Again, you normally expect 25%. Is there 923%? That's because the metal, quite a lot of metal had been stockpiled. There was an opportunity to sell it, and that accounts for that. On the revenue, I'm on page 5. The revenue under gate revenues, 241%. That is because of the mini concerts, the three mini concerts that we had. That's where that revenue increase came from. The concert itself, you can see how much revenue came in. It looks as though, and the numbers aren't final yet, but it looks as though the profit will be, and by that I use the expression loosely, that the revenue excess over expenditures will be somewhere in excess of $15,000. The numbers are not quite in yet, but we will refine them when is that about right, Jennifer?
Yep.
We don't expect to see many untoward items in the first quarter. The year hasn't really had a chance to sort of get underway. think that brings out the highlights that I have noted going through. Is there anything that anybody else has noted? The Canada Day celebrations at 112%. That's because we got an additional revenue, I think, didn't we?
The Heritage Group.
Yeah.
We budgeted at 2,500 and it came in at about 4,500, so there was a little extra spend on the Canada Day.
Deputy Mayor Norman?
Yeah, we had budgeted 130,000 for benefits regular, and I see we're at double that right now. Can you explain that, Jennifer?
Which page are you on?
11.
15.
What page?
It was 15. It was 130,000 benefits regular, and we're at 284,781. Benefits regular, fourth item down, page 15. Transportation services, common services, administration.
You're using a different page 15 than me.
Oh, page 11. I'm looking at 15 on my
page 11.
Oh, okay.
Oh, page 11 in the book.
She picked up on the typo.
Oh, is it a typo?
Yeah, it's 28,478. There shouldn't be a 1.
Oh, yes, I got to note that too.
Yeah.
Should be 28%, yes.
28, what's the supposed to be?
28,478, so the percentage is like 21.8,
22%. But does that skew then the 430,000, the actual to date? So does that skew everything?
Those columns total?
Yes.
We'll reissue that page.
So that skews the whole
it
report
does.
Really by
yeah,
200,000.
Yeah, I agree with 16, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, any other questions, comments? Yes, Councilor McLeod.
Getting back to Queen's Place, I noticed that the sponsorships is up about 2,500.
So the profit that he alluded to, there's 12,500 in sponsorship.
Yeah. So is that sponsorship from signage or is Queen's Place sponsorship? Is that
sponsorship for the concert?
For the concert. Oh, that's for the concert.
So when he said 15, 12,500 within that 15 is sponsorship. We wouldn't have had it without the concert.
Councilor Fisk?
I think that's just great because just realize the spinoff from the area.
Let's face it, we when we approve the concerts and we know what it's going to cost, we all tend to have our hearts and our mouths a tiny bit, hoping that, you know, appeals to the public, and the last two have gone over very well. But we don't do it thinking we're going to make money. We really do it as a service to the public and actually as an economic driver within the community. It would be interesting to see what the spin-off is from that whole thing. Any other questions on finances? If not, we move on in the agenda. Is that okay? Recreation, Councilor Frelick.
No, I have nothing this week. No, I'm just out on vacation. So.
Okay. Planning, Councilor McLeod.
Yes, I have one motion. This is a result of another original motion that was back in May 24th. I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve entering into an easement agreement with Stephen DeLong for the purpose of erecting and maintaining a wooden privacy fence on lands of the Region of Queens Municipality, PID number 7001-8338, and that all costs associated with this transaction shall be the responsibility of Stephen DeLong.
Seconded by Councilor Frelick. Mike, do you want to give us a brief rundown? I think it's pretty clear.
Yeah, essentially, Mr. DeLong just wants to erect or continue a portion of fencing along the boundary of his property between it and the Liverpool Fire Hall. The irregular shape of Mr. DeLong's property doesn't enable him to erect that fence within his property, so this easement will allow him to erect that. We've also included provision in the easement that if for some reason in the future that require extra room for the fire hall property, that we
reserve the right to have this easement agreement released. And Mr. Long is certainly has no issue with that aspect. So essentially the leased area will run over to the existing curb of the fire hall parking area adjacent to his property.
Pretty straightforward.
Pretty straightforward, yes. Any further discussion or are you ready for the motion?
Question.
All in favor? It's unanimous, thank you. Thank you, Mike. Queen's Place Mirror Center, Councillor Fancy, do you have anything?
Nothing new at this time.
Okay. You have the various reports under item 15. Is there any discussion on those reports? They're there for information. Okay, hearing none, I'm then moving on to 16. Richard, are you going to take us through strategic priorities?
Sure. Should I wait for the motion first, or?
I'm not sure who's going to make the motion. Just hold tight. I mean, Deputy Mayor, why didn't you make the motion?
I so move that the Region Queens Municipality approve the strategic priorities as outlined in Attachment B of this report.
So, Council.
Seconded by Councilor Fisk. Sorry. Okay.
So, Council will recall last September we initiated a strategic planning process to enable us to focus our efforts on delivering accomplishment for the municipality. This is our third update. This update will take us through the election and we'll engage with the new council on the next strategic priorities following that. So the previous 3 months, quite a bit completed from an economic development standpoint. We've initiated the town hall stakeholders working group, have hired a major events developer. There's been progress on the Caledonia Rural Internet Wireless Project development. We've awarded a commercial real estate broker request for proposal, and we've developed agreements with Queens Association for Supportive Living at the VIC and Lanes at the Lighthouse. From planning, we've done a fair bit of work developing or coming to a decision point on a shared use trail policy for the Trusted Trail, developing a proposal with the Milton Canoe and Camera Club. We've also had a lot of development activity going on, 53% increase in development permits year to date over last year, and the same with building permits, inspections, and subdivision plans. Engineering, Brad took you through the updates on the major capital projects we're doing this year. In recreation, we talked about ongoing engagement with the Queens Aquatic Society, the reinstitution of the MPAL position, and a recreation brochure, Queens Place. We came to the end of our strategic planning work with a recommendation for a new advisory committee, delivered the Beach Boys concert, and have had some successful initiatives, dance programs, and National Health and Fitness Week. So our priorities going forward recommended are to remain our advocacy priorities around rural internet, economic development, and the renewal of Hills Few Acres facility. Not a lot new on this this paper to speak to. Queen's Place will be focusing on delivering what has been agreed with a lot of the strategic work that was done there. In order to move the policy manual review, we do have a staffing vacancy right now, municipal clerk's position that we'll be recommending that we compete for in the near future. Planning is working on developing the trails agreement with the Queens Rails Trails Association. Recreation is focused on re-entry into the MPAL program. So that's an overview of some of the work we expect to focus on over the next quarter.
Okay, comments, discussion. Councilor McLeod.
Just curiosity, it says under planning direction of Mill Valley School property, which we've discussed, but what's the Buckfield Community Center?
So we've recently received that back, so we're going to need to come to council probably next month on what to do with that, whether we recommend to demolish it, sell it. So staff will be working on options and paper for that.
So how do we get that back? Were we part of, like, why would we get that?
So the community association and community association failed, no longer existed, so the building reverts to the municipality.
Was that a previous school years ago?
Yes,
it was.
Yeah.
Deputy Mayor Norman, you wanted to
No, that was my question.
Okay. Councilor Fancy.
You know, we're hearing more and more of these things. Are there a lot of agreements still out there that's going to come back to that we know of, that's going to, when they finish, they come back to us? Is that way the old agreements were written around in communities that would fall back to the municipality?
The old schools and community associations.
And community halls and
old
things
schools.
Like that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we don't want them
no.
back.
I really don't think there's too many left.
I wouldn't know how to put the comment. That's something we can follow up on.
Do you know, Mike, others?
I don't believe there's too many others. I guess this, I know the Buckfield one was clearly written into a clause in the deed to the Buckfield Community Hall Association that should have ceased to exist. And I don't think there's too many other ones that are out there for rural schools.
Most of them have been cleaned up over the years and found other uses or been flattened.
Yeah.
Any other discussion? Are you ready for the question on the motion?
Question.
All in favor? It's unanimous. Thank you. And Councillor Frelick, you had.
Yes. I'm a part of the Provincial Municipal Government Working Group on Accessibility Legislation, which was struck by the province, and it's part of UNSM. And we had our first meeting last week, and basically what it's saying is that the provincial government is bringing a legislation in the fall that will affect not-for-profits, profit organizations, large and small business, and provincial and municipal governments. And it is planning on tabling accessibility legislation in the fall of 2006, but this group was formed, and everybody got an opportunity to apply for it or to be on, sit on the board. And the mandate is to develop and implement an education awareness plan aimed at municipalities taking advantage of municipal events and networks, develop and implement an engagement strategy that allows municipalities to provide advice on how outcomes of the intended legislation can be achieved in the municipal sector. So basically, Ontario and Manitoba have put this into place, and they're kind of following that lead. And the principles that they have that make you understand a little bit, it's just from this point on, 2016 moving forward, accessibility will be a priority. There will be no ignoring it. There's no going around it. It will be a law. And what this group is doing is how to ease that into government and municipality, provincial. So the principles that they're working on, this working group, is access. Number one, fairness. There should be no barriers to prevent a person from accessing those things that will give the person the quality of opportunity and outcome. Alignment, basically it's getting everybody working together on this. universal design, which is the important one. Anything from this point on that's built, whether it's a park, a trail, a building, will have to have the capability for those who need access to be able to get in the building or the park. So that's an important one. These are all coming in phases. So they will start in the fall, and they will start, as I said, at number one and work their way through. And it's probably a 3-year span over how they do it. Participation, another important one. Persons with disabilities should be involved in all stages. Putting in the action of the concept, nothing with about us without us. Leadership, the government is the leader and the champion of the legislation through public awareness, and it cannot be achieved without the cooperation of provincial and municipal government. So it was a really interesting meeting, and a lot of positive comments came out of it, and they're working on a brochure or information package. This one was done up for the Chamber of Commerce. They're going to redo it for the municipalities. You'll see that in the fall, so we have our next couple meetings. But it's just basically an overview. The legislation, we don't know. Manitoba and Ontario have it in place. Ours will be slightly different, and we won't know until it's tabled by the government. So this is just leading into it, and rather than just have it happen, it's a group to try to make it ease in a little bit easier. So it's a good group of people, and some disabled people on the committee, and interesting to hear their version and their needs from their side. So anyway, I just wanted to give you an update of that, and you will be getting notice of all of this in the next month or so.
Thank you. Deputy Mayor Norman.
Yep. Two questions, Brian.
Yep.
Has your group, or will they discuss the National Building Code restrictions? Because as you know, part of the problem with Town Hall
mm-hmm.
is while there's those great temporary things that you can buy in the United States, the National Building Code frowns on them. So has there been any discussion or looking or how that National Building Code could be softened or something to allow, especially with old buildings? And my second question, and I just get them all at the same time.
Yep.
Was there any discussion when you're talking parks and trails? I think of Kedgy Seaside, and I mean, if that was being built next year, there's trails that simply wouldn't be able to be built,
right?
Because part of the trail system is over all that cobble,
right?
And the only alternative is to go through the big bogs. So will they allow like national parks that have rugged hiking trails? And I'm thinking like these, you know, up the
mm-hmm.
other side up around Cape Split.
Yep.
I mean, there are just some places
that you
that
virtually can't do.
That you virtually can't make accessible for all.
Right.
So is there that discussion, or is it going to be, if it's not accessible for all, then there shall be no trail?
The first question was, there's
national.
Probably been conversation on that. This was more of a meeting to get everybody on the same page about how it's going to be done. But clearly there's some people that have had very deep conversations about this. And what they said in reference to like a town hall was that, you know, if this was in place a year ago, the renovations we did would have to include accessibility. From 2016 onward, you can't do a renovation to a building. Doesn't mean you have to go back and retrofit it, but if you're doing a renovation, it means you have to move forward and give them the most access you possibly can, keeping in mind what you're saying about the codes. The second part of it is any park, any playground, any equipment in the playground, any trail will be done as complete as they can do it. Keeping in mind that you obviously can't get to the top of Cape Split, but the opportunity to go to the bottom of Cape Split needs to be explored so that everybody has the same opportunity. This whole thing is about breaking down barriers, and that's what, you know, across Canada, it's about breaking down the barriers. So.
Councilor McLeod.
Brian, was that initiative of the Scotia, or was that UNSM, or how does this come together?
I think it's a combination.
Yeah.
This committee was UNSM.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was a government, provincial government.
Request to sort of
yes.
deal with that
yeah.
through UNSM.
It's trying to merge, it's trying to get the provincial and municipal working together
okay.
to send the message out in
yeah.
a clearer, easier way.
Okay.
And even with this, when we had this news letter, they were concerned that it wasn't positive enough because this is a major change for so many people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they talked about numbers and employment and the possibilities of more employment because of disabled people being able to get into buildings. So I'm not entirely in agreement with that, but it is a part of, it's more about allowing people to go where they've never been allowed.
And also the financial implications of this, once you start doing
yes.
a project, now this falls into the budgeting and the whole
And this group will be available to come talk to council and tell them what those are going to be, because obviously it's going to impact like the 5-year capital plan.
Yeah.
If you have to, you know, if there's a playground in that plan and you're putting in, you have to put in special equipment. So yeah, this was the very first meeting. And there'll be lots of meetings and lots of opportunities to talk about it. And it will come in gradual, but effectively 2016 is the start of it. So we need to be aware of it.
And modeling after other provinces that have something like that in place, it kind of gives you a little bit of framework.
Manitoba and Ontario have done it very successfully.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Any further discussion? Thank you, Brian. Any other items before we go into camera? I didn't intend to wish to go in camera then.
I so moved.
Councillor Frelick, seconded by Councillor Fisk. All in favour of going in camera? We'll take a few minutes to clear the room.